Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to Markman Madness on this marvelous Monday. My name is Mark Heffernan, and our show is produced by Mancini Media, Mark Mancini specifically. Our number 347-205-9631, 347-205-9631. Yes, here we go. The temperature is beginning to get a little bit cooler here in the Central Valley. We are expecting rain tonight or tomorrow. It sprinkled a little bit today. The temperatures probably are in the lower 60s right now in Bakersfield. I know it's been raining a little bit in Southern California. We've had nice weather here for the past 10 days to 2 weeks, more like fall-like weather. Did a volleyball match last Thursday. It was the Central Section Division I final between Liberty High of Bakersfield, and they took on Clovis West, the Golden Eagles of Fresno, and Liberty won in 4 games, 3-1. But Liberty played well in the first game. I thought they sputtered in games 2 and 3, then played their best volleyball in game 4. So Liberty's playing Harvard-Westlake tomorrow in the state playoffs. Liberty Patriots, 31-6 this year, and they defeated Clovis West for the second time in 6 years in the Valley Final. They knocked them off in 2016. For Liberty, their fifth section title in volleyball, second in Division I. Clovis West had won 7. Friday night, the first-round playoff game at Tom Flores Stadium in Sanger. That's where he's from, the former Raiders quarterback and coach. He won Super Bowls. Do you realize he was the first quarterback ever for the Oakland Raiders, Tom Flores? He was in the American Football League there in the 60s. He also quarterbacked, I think, at Kansas City, and he was a coach for the Raiders for many years, and also coached in Seattle his last 2 or 3 years. Had a nice career, over 500 as a coach, and he was honored last year there at the stadium. They named the stadium after him in Sanger. The stadium is about a mile away from the high school, Sanger High School, which has a student population of over 3,300, and a nice facility there, regular turf, big press box, very spacious. The press box is not on the home side, it's on the visitor side, which is kind of unusual. And then behind the stadium, you have a beautiful track, synthetic surface, and you have a couple of baseball and softball fields. So the complex was paid by community support a few years ago. So nice to see Flores being honored last year, and of course he's in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Coming up on the program today, Glenn Wilson, former Major League Baseball outfielder, played with 4 or 5 teams in Major League, including those Pittsburgh Pirates. So, I had a decent career. Hey, man, if he was playing today, he'd been making pretty good money. He had about $265 for his career. Not a star, but he had 3 or 4 very good years. So a lot of people may not know who he is, but the fact is I remember him when he played. And I think he was 10 years in the major, so he was an MLB baller for a long time. Had a good career. We'll talk to him a little bit later. The Houston Astros won their second World Series title by beating Philadelphia 4-1 Saturday. The Astros captured the series 4-2. They won 3 straight. Houston manager Dusty Baker, who's won over 2,000 games in regular season, earned his first World Series crown. Congratulations to Dusty, who played for the Atlanta Braves and the Dodgers. Framber Valdez, 2-0, allowed just 1 run and spanned 9 6-innings. Ryan Pressly pitched the 9th, earned the save. Jordan Alvarez hit a bomb, blasted a 450-foot homer to center field, a 3-run shot. That was a difference in the final game won by Houston 3-1. Rookie shortstop Jeremy Pena, who had 2 hits and made a sparkling play, was named the MVP. Homer, 3 RBIs and 5 runs scored in the World Series for him. Batting average 400. Okay, Dodgers have a number of free agents. There are Kyle Anderson, Andrew Heaney, Clayton Kershaw, Joey Gallo, Kevin Pillar, and Craig Kimbrell. Who will I sign? I would definitely sign Anderson, who had a fantastic year, about 15-5, and went pitched very well against San Diego. The only starter who went at least 6 innings against San Diego and pitched well in that series, and they lost that later on in the bullpen, but I would definitely sign him. I'm not sure if I would sign Clayton Kershaw. We'll see about that. I would not sign Haney. I think he's mediocre. He wasn't good with the Angels or with the Yankees. He was hurt a lot last year. I don't like guys that are not available. And then when they are available, they're not very good. He has a nice rising fastball. but he gives up a lot of gopher balls. Haney, I would not bring him back. Kershaw, iffy. Gallo, no. Good fielder, can hit. Good power, can hit 200. Okay. Pilar, basically a backup. Kimbrel, disappointment. Too much money for what you get from him. Used to be a great closer. Now he's just barely a good closer. He may pitch well in the fifth and sixth inning, but you can't rely on him late in the game. So I would not bring him back. Let's get some new blood in there. Okay, Frank Reich, head coach, Indianapolis Colts, no more. He was fired today. His record overall, 40-33-1, but they've struggled this year with a record of 3-5-1. Of quarterback issues, here's a guy that was a quarterback, had a great comeback in the NFL, but it just didn't work out for him there. Frank Reich, a good offensive coordinator. A lot of guys are excellent assistant coaches, and they don't become excellent or good head coaches. Totally different scenario, very tough. So Frank is out of a job. Who replaced him? Jeff Saturday, the former center for Indianapolis Colts, played with Peyton Manning Company. He's been an ESPN commentator for many years, named the interim coach today, and flew to Indianapolis, and Jeff will take over as head coach. My question is, why would you leave broadcasting and go into coaching? Basically hired to be fired, but probably for him, he's going to see how it works out for the rest of this year and take it from there. But I would just finish out this year, if I was him, and go back into broadcasting. That's a better career. You don't make the same kind of money, but you probably won't be fired that quickly. He's been on ESPN for a long time. Very knowledgeable guy, very passionate about the game, articulate. Hopefully he will do a good job. Okay. Games yesterday. The Chargers 20. Atlanta 17, tough game. Chargers now 5-3, Atlanta 4-5. Atlanta was tied with Tampa Bay for the top spot in the NFC South. Chargers in second place behind KC and the AFC West. Game-winning field goal by Cameron Dicker for the Chargers. Herbert, 30-43, 245 yards, a touchdown and a pick. Mariota for Atlanta, 12-23, 129 yards. Algier, 94 yards rushing for Atlanta. Palmer, 8 receptions for 106 yards for the L.A. Chargers. Seattle, 31, the surprise team, and Arizona, 21. Geno Smith, a career backup, doing a great job this year. He's better than Matthew Stafford. 26 of 34, 275 yards, a couple of touchdowns, one INT. Walker, the rookie, 109 yards rushing and 2 touchdowns. Didn't he have like 150 yards a couple of weeks ago, Walker? They run the ball, they can pass the ball. Great dual threat, their team. They're not one-dimensional. Murray for Arizona, 25 of 35, 175 yards, 2 touchdowns. Murray, 60 yards rushing. Kyler Murray was the entire story for Arizona yesterday, and they play the Rams next week at SoFi. The Rams have dominated them, but this Rams team doesn't dominate anybody. A lot of problems there. Tampa Bay now 4-5 as they beat the Rams 16-13, score with 9 seconds left. Tom Brady took the team down inside the red zone twice in the past couple of minutes. The Rams thought they were trying to run off the clock, but how do you run off the clock when the other team, your opponent, has 2 timeouts remaining and their quarterback is Tom Brady? You're running the ball inside the 10 or 15 because you're afraid to throw the ball. You don't have any confidence in Matthew Stafford. Well, I can see why, but still, if they get one first down, the game's over with. If Tampa Bay only had 1 timeout or no timeouts, if I'm the Rams, yeah, I'm going to run the ball, maybe 2 of the 3 downs that I have, but I'm not going to run the ball every time. So they punt. Tampa Bay gets the ball at their own 40-yard line with less than a minute left. The Rams have prevent defense, which they use every game, basically. And then they give up a 28-yard pass play over the middle. That spelled doom for them. Soft coverage, Rams, just like you had against Atlanta, just like you had against the Niners and every other team you play. Soft. Players are not physical. They play wimpy football. You know, most of the players for the Rams this year competed in the Super Bowl 9 months ago. How could they drop off so much as a team? It's not like they made wholesale changes. You would say that they had Odell Beckham Jr. Yeah, but Beckham only played one half of the Super Bowl. They played the second half without him, and they won. And remember, Beckham only joined the team last year in midseason, just like Von Miller. He joined the team midseason last year. But you look at, obviously, a poor offensive line. That wasn't their only problem. Matthew Stafford last year compared to this year, his stats are, it's unbelievable, the difference. He's, what, 35, 36? Big, big-time drop-off. They have nobody to back him up. They got to go with him, bad elbow and all. Not a good situation. I think Sean McVay has done a good job coaching this year. Way overly conservative. Too conservative on play. Like I said, Tampa Bay had two timeouts left. You have the ball inside your 10-yard line. Yeah, you want to be conservative to a degree, but you got to get that one first down. You have to move the chains at least one time. You're the Rams. You get one first down, and the game's over with, regardless if Tampa Bay uses their two timeouts. And typically with the Rams, they couldn't get it done on the ground. Henderson had a 10-yard run, followed by a 23-yard run in the game. So that was it. Two big running plays there, 75-yard pass play to Cooper Kupp, catch and run, and a 34-yard reception to Cooper Kupp. That's about it offensively for the team. They basically had nothing besides those two Kupp plays and the two runs by Henderson. And that's it for the entire game. Tampa Bay had many more plays, many more opportunities to score. You give Brady that much time and plays, opportunities, he's going to beat you. He was 36 of 58 in the game. Stafford, 13 for 27, 165 yards and a score. Kupp, 8 receptions for 127 yards. Brady, as I said, 36 of 58, 280 yards and a score. Otten, 5 receptions, 68 yards, and that touchdown to win it, 16-13. How do you win the NFL scoring 13 points? Beats me. Okay, the Jets are now 6-3 as they knocked off Buffalo, 20-17. Bills now 6-2. Wilson came back, a good game, not a great game. 18 for 25, 154 yards and a score. G. Wilson, 8 receptions for 92 yards. For Buffalo, Josh Allen, well, 18 of 34, 265 yards. He ran for two scores. One was a long run, but he threw two picks, two costly picks in the game. So 18 for 34, 200 yards passing plus, but he didn't throw a touchdown pass. But he had two turnovers, two picks. He ran well. I think he had about 70 yards rushing, but nevertheless, it wasn't good enough as he made mistakes at the wrong time and only put 17 points on the board. Last night, Patrick Mahomes played like a great player, which he is. He played like a superstar. Used his legs to make some huge runs late in the game. Actually scored a touchdown and a two-point conversion. Touchdown going to his right, spins off for the score. The following play was actually a pass play. He rolled to his left, got inside the left pylon to score the two-point conversion. So his running actually propelled KC to the victory last night as they defeated Tennessee by a score of 20-17. It was a comfortably behind victory for the Chiefs, who are now 6-2. Tennessee 5-3. Mahomes, 43-68, 446 yards, one touchdown, one pick, 63 yards rushing. So he was over 500 yards in total offense, Patrick Mahomes. Henry of Tennessee, 115 yards rushing, a couple of touchdowns, but he was on the sidelines a lot late in that game in an OT, especially when they were behind. Willis, 5 of 16, 80 yards, the quarterback for Tennessee, just could not pass the ball well. Okay, NFL, the best division, AFC East. We have the Bills 6-2, the Jets 6-3, the Dolphins 6-3. AFC West, the Chiefs are 6-2, followed by the Chargers at 5-3. And AFC North, we have the Ravens at 5-3, and then the Bengals 5-4. They looked great yesterday. They were bad against Cleveland, though, just about 6 days before. The Titans 5-3 in the AFC South, the only good team in that division. NFC East, the best division. Eagles 8-0, Cowboys and Giants 6-2. NFC West, surprise Seattle at 6-3, followed by those Niners at 4-4. Now, the Niners look to be a Super Bowl contender once they get Debo Samuel back and C-Mac, Christian McCaffrey, gets more involved in the offense. They're a consistent quarterback in Jimmy Garoppolo and a tough defense, great front four. Seem like they have the pieces to be a Super Bowl contender, but we'll see about that. At any rate, as I look at NFC North, the Vikings are 7-1, NFC South, Tampa Bay 4-5, and the Falcons at 4-5. Okay, NBA Eastern Conference, the Bucks 9-0 playing right now. The Cavs 8-1. The Celtics Hawks are 6-3. NBA Western Conference, the top team again, are the Suns at 7-2, the Jazz are 8-3, Grizzlies 7-3, the Blazers 6-3, and Denver 6-3. Now, people do not look for the Jazz and the Blazers to be that good this year, but it's a long season. Grizzlies, yes. Suns, yes. Denver, yes. In the Eastern Conference, definitely yes to the Bucks and the Cavs, a young developing team, and the Celtics and Hawks. So tonight, Sacramento's at Golden State. The Lakers are at Utah. Cleveland at L.A. Chargers, pardon me, L.A. Clippers, and Washington at Charlotte games. Okay, there we go. Let's see what we got here. South Indianapolis, Indiana. Sounds like your Coach McVay is a stressed-out guy like the dude we just fired, Reich. Well, yeah, he's a stressed-out guy, but the only difference is that McVay's team won the Super Bowl in February and Indianapolis didn't. So there's the difference right there. Okay, what else we have? Captain Jet, Mr. New York Listening, Zach from Toledo, Ohio, Glenn Wilson, what a good outfielder he was. He changed since he played. The game has changed since he played. And from Huntington Beach, hi, Mark. Ran down here as well. Chargers looked good yesterday versus the Falcons. Yes, they did. Captain from San Francisco, Niners, baby. Hey, Hef, man. Your Rams, I can't see them. How far down the standings are you yet? But remember, they won the Super Bowl in February, Cabby. Just remember that. Are the Niners going to win? I doubt it. They're a good team. Still don't pick them to win it. Ron from Flagstaff, Arizona, watching the Suns and Sixers. Hey, the Lakers are garbage. All that talent, no results. But I disagree with you, Ron. I don't think they have that much talent. I don't think LeBron, AD, and Westbrook are that talented. LeBron's talented, but he's not as good as he used to be. AD has dropped off. Now, he's rebounding better this year than he has in the past, but he's only scoring 19 or 20 points a game. That's not good enough. And he gets off the great starts, but he kind of eases up in the second half. Westbrook's not that talented anymore. He used to be. See, they're getting paid for what they used to do. Overall, besides them, they're not a talented team. So part of it's coaching, and they don't have the right chemistry, but I think the Lakers overall are a talented team, so I disagree with you there. Steve from Corvallis, Oregon, UCLA won't go to Big Ten. Utah will replace them. How do you know that, Steve? Do you have some inside information on that? Danny from Arleta, California. Rams played terrible. Offense stinks. Trying to play a prevent defense. Brady ate him up. Yeah, he did. But, you know, since Brady went to Tampa Bay, he's 1-3 against the Rams. Did you realize that? Okay. Let's see what else we have. I'm also making a great comment here. Tyler, okay. Our number 347-205-9631. 347-205-9631. Where is Glenn Wilson? Glenn Wilson. Still waiting on Glenn Wilson. Maybe got mixed up on the time. I mentioned him 5:10 p.m. Pacific time on Monday. 5:10 p.m. Pacific time on Monday. I think he's calling from Texas, which I believe is 2 hours away. I live in Houston, Texas. Well, hopefully he will call. It's kind of hard for me to try to contact him, and I'm trying to do a show on the air. So I will talk about other things as we go on the show. Keep on giving us a call or a text, ladies and gentlemen, listeners, if you have something to say today. I'm going to hit the Central Section Football Quarterfinals here in California, California Scholastic Federation, Division One. Games this week on Thursday, because Friday is Veterans Day. You have number one Clovis West against number eight Clovis, number five Central at number four Selmecca Memorial in Fresno. That'll be at Rackless Stadium. Clovis West is playing at Buchanan Stadium, I think, but I'm not sure because Buchanan is also playing Thursday, so they will have a double hitter or somebody's playing on a different day. Okay, Sal from Germantown, Pennsylvania. Phillips had a good year. Yeah, they had a good year. They won 87 games, but you can't expect an 87-win team to win the World Series. I know that it's happened recently where teams with not excellent records in the regular season get hot in the playoffs and do it. I thought the Phillies played very well in the postseason, played very well. They were up 2-1 in the World Series. So they stopped hitting after they had that 4 or 5 homer game. They basically stopped hitting. I think the pressure got to them and better pitching. Houston has great relief pitching, and it was too much for them. The games were tight. The games were close. But when it came down to it, the best team won. The team that won 106 games this year had just a little bit too much for Philly in the pressure. That's how you win championships, in the clutch, and the pressure. Houston delivered, and Philadelphia didn't. But yes, they had a good year. Okay, lower bracket, Central Section, football, Division One, quarterfinals, Thursday. Number three, Liberty of Bakersfield at home against St. Joseph's of Santa Maria. Liberty is third seeded and St. Joseph's sixth. Going back to the other bracket, Clovis West at number one against number eight Clovis. That's Thursday. And the other game has number five Central of Fresno at number four San Joaquin Memorial Fresno. That will be at Radcliffe Stadium. Liberty plays in their own stadium there on campus of Liberty, the third seed against St. Joseph, the sixth seed in the lower bracket. Then we have number seven Clovis North at number two Buchanan of Clovis. Buchanan will have the home stadium. But my question is, Clovis West plays their home games at Buchanan. Buchanan plays their home games at Buchanan. So obviously Buchanan has a priority. So if they're both playing Thursday, if Buchanan's at home, where will Clovis West play? Why should they play at Clovis High Stadium? Because Clovis West has a better seed. They should be playing at home. So will they play at Clovis at Daryl Monica Stadium? Where else will they play? I don't have any idea. Will they play at Collegiate Stadium? Since Central is on the road at their home. I mean, it's kind of confusing when you have high schools in a Fresno Clovis area, and most of the schools don't have their own stadium. They don't have lights. One thing about Bakersfield area teams, we don't have very good teams, but everybody has football stadiums with lights. They don't have to play somewhere else. The only time Bakersfield schools have to play at another high school in town is when the high school district is renovating that particular stadium. Foot has its own stadium. They had to play at Miramonte and Highland High for a couple of years because they were reinvigorating and redoing their stadium and their school. And the same thing with the other schools here in town. Everybody has lights here in Bakersfield. When they build a new high school, they build a stadium with lights. Del Oro, the newest school in town, open up in the fall. They don't have any seniors. I don't think they have any juniors. And they look pretty good, their junior varsity team. They have lights. Miramonte has lights where I did games. Foothill has lights. Liberty does. Ridgeview. And you can name it. Bakersfield High has had lights for years. They redid their stadium and everything. So they had to play elsewhere for a while. West, South, North, you name it. Everybody has lights in Bakersfield. The only reason they have games on Thursdays down here is because they don't have enough officials. But up in the Fresno Clovis area, when they have top-notch teams, they've had to play games on Thursdays for years because of the fact that they don't have enough stadiums. When two or three schools make one stadium their home, they can't play the same day simultaneously. They have to have a doubleheader or they have to play on a different day. I mean, three schools in Tulare share one stadium, Bob Mathias Stadium, Tulare Union, Tulare Western, and Mission Oak. And so that to me is a problem, and the problem has been remedied. They have money for everything else, but not for stadiums. It kind of cracks me up. Okay, so Wilson has been receiving texts from Mark Mancini, still not there. Okay, I will go on to the Division II CIF Central Section Football Quarterfinals. And we have number one, Central Valley Christian of Visalia. They were the Division III champs last year. I did their game against Bakersfield Christian on NFHS Network. CBC this year moving up in division. They were 10-0 and been very dominant. They knocked off Polis North, who's a fairly strong team in Division I. CBC should be in Division I, but they can't because of the fact that you can only move up one division or move down one division. Since they were a Division III school last year, they can't move past Division II. Now, to me, CBC is better than the 9 through 12 teams in Division I. That would be Garces, Bullard, Clovis East, and I think it was Hanford or somebody else. But to me, CBC is better than those teams. But according to the system, they couldn't move up to Division I. That's just my opinion. They have a better offense than those teams. And I think all those teams, 9 through 12, got beat in the first round last week. So we have CBC against Sanger, number one against number eight. In Visalia, I did a Sanger game against Paso Robles last Friday, and Sanger won 21-0. I have about three solid backs in their team. One guy is like a stud, about 5'8", 180. Talked to him after the game. He runs between the tackles. The other guy, Jacob Gonzalez, is more of an outside runner, but he can, you know, he can go inside the tackles. They have another runner, maybe carries the ball 10 times a game. They don't pass much at all. They're a physical team, and they're physical running backs. But it's going to take more than that to beat CBC. You're going to have to pass the ball more effectively to beat a team like Central Valley Christian. So I'm picking, okay, my picks. In Division I, I have Clovis West over Clovis. They played in the last week of the regular season, and Clovis West won 27-0. Clovis High knocked off Garces by 1 point last week in the first round. So Clovis West over Clovis. Then I have Samwick Memorial over Central in a very tight game at Radcliffe Stadium. So I'm going with the home teams 4/5. Number 3, Liberty. Well, I do a lot of events there. I have to be a homer here. I'm going with the Patriots over St. Joe's of Santa Maria, 3-6. Going with the Patriots. Then another pretty good affair, number 7, Clovis North. At number 2, Buchanan. I'm going with the Bears over the Broncos. So I'm picking all the home teams to the quarterfinals of Division 1. Division 2, I have CBC, number 1 seed, over number 8, Sanger at home. I have, this could be a tough one, number 4, Hanford, who scored 84 points, 84, against Ridgely last week. Ridgely people told me they ran up the score. I said, really, were they passing the ball? Not necessarily. What were they doing? They kept their starters in. Well, I said, aren't you guys prepared to face their starters for 4 quarters? I mean, do you realize in the second quarter, Hanford outscored Ridgeview 42-0, 42-0. That means they scored 6 touchdowns in the second quarter. So obviously, the running clock was used in the second quarter. I mean, Hanford is a good team, but they're not a section or state powerhouse. They lost to Lemoore. Hanford's 9 with top seed in Division 2. They are the number 4 seed in Division 2, and they're hosting Bakersfield Christian. I'm going with the Bullpups, Hanford at home against BCHS. And then we have number 3, Lemoore, a high-scoring team, who beat Hanford in the last game of their regular season in the West Yosemite League. I have Lemoore, number 3, at home against number 6, Washington Union. And then I have number 2, Kingsburg. His only loss was to number 1, CBC, in a regular season game. I have Kingsburg at home, number 2, against number 7, Frontier of Bakersfield. Frontier finished in third place in the River League of Bakersfield. It was won by Liberty, followed by Centennial, then Frontier. Now, Centennial beat Frontier head-on. Garces lost to Frontier by a point, but Garces beat Centennial and, of course, lost to Liberty. So, in Division 3, I have number 1 Mission Prep with San Luis Obispo at home, defeating number 9 Arroyo Grande from the Central Coast. So these schools kind of know each other. Mission Prep, that small little Catholic school by the Mission in Slo City, and I have them beating Arroyo Grande, number 1 against number 9. Number 5, Kerman, and number 4, Kennedy of Delano. Kennedy, more one-dimensional, beautiful stadium, playing at home in Delano, but they are very tough, very physically involved, good coach. I'm going with Kennedy, Robert F. Kennedy, at home against number 5, Kerman. Number 3, Tehachapi, playing mountain football against number 11, Sunnyside of Fresno. I am going with the Warriors of Tehachapi due to the fact that Corey Costello, my former broadcast partner in crime, he ran the New York City Marathon the other day. He finished. This guy used to be heavy back in the day, and he took up running, I mean serious running. I think he's competed in the L.A. Marathon, in the Boston Marathon, and in the New York City Marathon. Now, you can apply for that, but I think you have to have a certain time to qualify. Kudos to Corey, and I think he's also helped out with the Tehachapi program. The program was down for a while, and their former coach retired, and this is the best season they've had in years. This year, there are 9-1. It gets cold there in the mountains. It's going to be cold Friday night. I'm going to pick the Warriors, the third seed, against number 6, Washington Union, on Friday. Pardon me, Thursday. All the games are Thursday this week because Veterans Day is on Friday. So I go with Tehachapi over number 6, Washington Union, and then I have number 7, Frontier, losing to Kingsburg. In Division 3, we have Mission Prep, number 1 winning against number 9, Arroyo Grande. Then we have, I got number 4, Kennedy of Delano at home, tough, mighty team, against number 5, Kerman. And as I said, number 3, Tehachapi at home against number 11, Sunnyside. And then Eagle Independence last year came on and played very well in the playoffs. Same as this year. Did not have a very good regular season. They were the 15th seed, but they knocked off the number 2 seed, Porterville, in big fashion. Now, some people say, well, I'm picking Independence of Bakersfield, but I'm going with Mission Oak of Tulare, number 7th seed, against number 15 Independence on Thursday. So Division 3, I have Mission Prep, Kennedy, Tehachapi, Independence. So far, I have not gone for a road team. But you know what? What high school football is, there will be some upsets, some mild upsets, so you can't just go for the home teams. That's the kind of season it's been. You don't know how teams are going to play from 1 week to the next. You don't know how mentally prepared the kids are to play in the games. The elite teams always seem to be ready. Other teams, not necessarily so. In Division 4, number 1, Liberty of Madera at home against number 8, Shafter. Shafter took out Strathmore last week. Of course, this is on Thursday, Division 4, so I'm going with Liberty, Madera, the Hawks. They are 10-0. They're undefeated this year. Number 12, North, is on the road. We have, I have number 3, Carruthers, the Blue Raiders, at home to defeat number 6, Justin Garza, a new school in the Central Unified School District, named after Justin Garza, one of the most successful coaches in Central Grizzlies history, named the school after him. And they are the second school in the Central Unified School District. Central actually has 2 campuses, the Grizzlies. They're in Division 1, and Garza in Division 4. I don't believe Garza has seniors, but I'm going with Carruthers over Garza. Number 2, Taft at home. Hey, you know what? They were not very impressive last week, defeating South High Bakersfield 21-13. They're taking on number 7, Kalinga. My brother is going with the Horned Toads of Kalinga. I'm still going with Taft. So I'm still being true to picking all the home teams. We go to Division 5. Bishop Union, another undefeated team. And they put up some points. They put up 16, 70 points in a lot of their games. Play up in the mountains. It's going to be cold there. If they take on number 8, Pioneer Valley of Santa Maria, I'm going with Bishop U to remain undefeated. Another game, number 5, Corcoran. Corcoran will be playing the number 4 seed. That's kind of like a toss-up. I might go with Corcoran in that game on the road. You know, 5 against 4, it's anybody's game. I also have number 3, Dos Palos, against number 6, Morro Bay from the coast. I'm going to stay with DP, Dos Palos, in that particular ball game. Number 2, Atascadero. I'm going with them at home, another school from the Central Coast. I didn't really write down all the teams in Division 6, but I believe the Hanford West, the top seed, will win their first game. And Mandoa, third seed, will probably be victorious in a particular ball game. So all the games will be played on Thursday, November 10th, because Friday is Veterans Day. Now, in the case of 2 schools playing at the same stadium, I don't know if they'll have a doubleheader on Thursday, or one game will be played on Wednesday, and the other will be played on Thursday. I don't know about that, because those games are not in my area. But I might be doing one of those games, but I'm not really sure at this point. Will games be played on Saturday? Possibly. But I don't think any games will be played on Friday, Veterans Day. Our number 347-205-9631. 347-205-9631. Does anybody else have any comments about Major League Baseball, the season? Phillies had a good season, a very good season. They played much better than I thought they would. Pitching was solid, hitting was solid. They got beat by a better team, but nothing to be ashamed of. They won 87 games this year, and they won 2 games in the World Series. I'll tell you, Kyle Schwarber, that guy's a stud. He's a beast, and he was amazing in the postseason. He's got such great power, and he doesn't swing at bad pitches. He was phenomenal. But you look at Houston, they made some excellent defensive plays. How about the play by McCormick, the center fielder in that game, where he leaped up against the fence and made the catch? I mean, Philadelphia scored some runs in that inning. How about the line drive that Schwarber hit down the first base line, and Trey Mancini was playing perfectly. He was right on the base at first base. He had a short hop, that shot by Schwarber, stepped on the bag. That ended an inning. As that ball goes by him, if he's playing about 5 feet off the base to the left of the base, that ball goes down the line, and Philadelphia scores a run or two, they might win that game. Baseball definitely is a game of inches, and some of those games could have gone either way. You got to be a little bit lucky in baseball, and you got to be good. And Houston was a little bit lucky, and they're also very, very good. Nevertheless, do you have any comments about the NFL? How's your team doing this year? 347-205-9631. 347-205-9631. Well, it doesn't happen often on my program where a guest is scheduled to go on and can't. I know that Glenn Wilson was heading to Philadelphia and saw 1 or 2 of the World Series games with them. But I know I went there, but we've been in constant communication over the past couple of days. And he's even responded to some of my promos on social media. And must have had a problem there with the time. But, you know, why look at 5:10 Pacific time is 5:10 Pacific time. It doesn't really make a difference if you live on the East Coast or in the Midwest or in the Rocky Mountain time zone, 5:10 p.m. Pacific time is 5:10 p.m. Pacific time. If you live on the East Coast or in the Midwest, Central time, Rocky time, it really has nothing to do with me. It's up to you to figure out what that time is on the Pacific Coast. It's not up to me. So whatever. I mean, at any rate, we talked about some of the games yesterday. And as far as Glenn Wilson is concerned, looking at some of his background as a player and what he did in Major League Baseball, played about 10 years there. He was from Channelview, Texas. He attended Channelview High School. He studied football, baseball at Sam Houston State, which is in Huntsville, Texas. Huntsville is 7 miles north of Houston. Now, I lived in Houston for 2.5 years, but I never made it to Huntsville. But it's not that far away. It's 70 miles north of Houston. I was to Galveston like twice. Galveston is about 45 to 50 miles south of Houston. Still a lot of hurricanes there. So it said he pumped gas while playing two sports in college. He also pumped gas while playing four sports in high school. He authored the book Headed Home. I want to talk about that. It's a new book that he came out with. He had 4,151 times at bat in major leagues, 1,098 hits. He batted 265 overall, which is pretty good, 98 homers. He's from Baytown, Texas. I know where that is. Glenn Dwight Wilson. He was 6'1", 190, played 10 seasons in major leagues from 1982 through 1993. He was a first-round pick by Detroit, played for the Tigers, the Phillies, the Mariners, the Pirates, and the Astros. Was primarily a right fielder. I wanted to ask him what was his most enjoyable team to play for, his best teammates, his favorite city. Was there another organization that he would have liked to have played for that he didn't? Looking at his career, I thought his best years were back-to-back-to-back. In 85 of the Phillies, he had 14 home runs with 102 RBIs and hit 275 with 39 doubles. He had 167 hits that year. That was 1985. In 86, he had 15 home runs, 84 RBIs, and hit 271 with 30 doubles. And in 87, he had 14 home runs with 54 RBIs. He hit 264 and had 21 doubles. Those were, to me, his three best years. He had another season that was pretty good. Definitely 85 was his best. 86, 87 were pretty good. 102, 84, and 54 runs batted in, respectively. Not big-time home run hitter, but 14, 15, and 14. But, you know, he hit 275, 271, 264. Hey, man, he can make some pretty good money in Major League Ball right now. He makes some very good moolah in Major League Baseball. As I mentioned to you, I did a game at Tom Ford Stadium Friday in Sanger as the Apaches took on the Paso Robles Bearcat. Now, my question to you is, what is a Bearcat? Is a Bearcat real? There's also a team here in the Valley. The name is the Fowler Redcats. What is a Redcat? Is a Redcat for real? I mean, they won a baseball section title maybe 3 or 4 years ago. I did the games in Visalia. Just kind of curious about that. 347-205-9631. I guess I'm going to have to talk for the rest of the way. Like I said, if you have any questions or comments, text Mark Mancini at 347-205-9631, and I'll answer it as best as possible. So about Thomas Raymond Flores, he's a former American football coach and quarterback. After he retired, he became a radio commentator with the Raiders in Oakland, the Oakland Raiders, and I think for a year or so in Las Vegas. Flores won 4 Super Bowls in his playing and coaching career. He was elected to the Pro Football Hall of Fame in 2021. Now, he spent 9 years with the Raiders as a coach and 3 years with Seattle. With the Raiders, he was 136 and 83, and with Seattle 48 and 14. His overall mark as a coach in the NFL was 184 and 97. 184 victories, only 97 defeats. That's excellent. But he's probably let go because two of his last 3 years, he was 6-10. And, you know, he had his heyday and he was let go, went to Seattle. Then became a commentator, 85 years old, saw him last year. His dad, Tomas, was a sharecropper from Mexico. And so he had a fantastic coaching career. 9 years with the Raiders, 3 years with Seattle. He was 6'1", 202, head coach, player. Now, he was a quarterback for the Bills, Chiefs, and Raiders in the American Football League. That was from 60 through 69, his playing career. Now, he played for Pacific, University of Pacific in the Bay Area, and I've never heard of this team. Professionally, he played with the Bakersfield Spoilers, not the Bakersfield Oilers, but the Bakersfield Spoilers in 1958. Then he played for the Oakland Raiders from 1960 through 66 and the Buffalo Bills from 1967 through 69, and then Kansas City before he retired. He had 11,959 yards passing in his career, 93 touchdowns, 92 INTs. His quarterback ranking was 67.6. As a coach, coached the Raiders from 79 through 87 and the Seahawks from 1992 to 94. Tom Flores. And we can talk about that. Let's see here. Okay. I guess we won't hear from Glenn Wilson today. Well, that's too bad. Well, once again, I would go over some of the games taking place tonight in the National Basketball Association. Very early in the season, the teams like the Lakers are almost out of it. The Lakers are 2-7 playing at Utah tonight, and they are the second worst team in the Western Conference. The worst team is Houston. The Rockets have one win this year. Two teams in the East are 2-8. And the Lakers are 2-7, and probably don't have a great chance to beat Utah tonight on the road. At any rate, Lakers are 2-7. As I said, second worst team in the West, and just a half game better than the cellar dwellers in the East. Could you imagine working in the Lakers PR department? I mean, just think about it. Could you imagine working in the Lakers PR department? Could you imagine working in the Rams PR department? So, I mean, you come to work every day. At least the Rams won last year, 9 months ago. Lakers won 2020. But you work in those departments. What are you writing on a daily basis? How are you creating interest in those two teams? You know, both teams have named players. They have named players who have won a championship. But both teams slipped very badly the year after they won the title. The Lakers did, and the Rams are doing it this year with a lot of the same players. Now, the Lakers, a lot of their backup players were new, but, you know, same core, same number two of LeBron James and Anthony Davis. They added Westbrook, and they had some other guys here and there. But I think about the Rams, same coach, still Aaron Donald, still Matthew Stafford, Cooper Kupp, Ramsey. You have your big-name players, your top-notch players that make the big money, same coach. Now, the Rams gave an extension to McVay, Stafford, to Donald, and Kupp. Did they have to? I don't think so, because they won the Super Bowl. The problem with giving everybody a contract extension is that you're paying them from what they accomplished. That's fine, but you don't have any money left over to give other players. You should always make your team better year after year. I mean, the Rams, I never thought they were going to win the Super Bowl last year. They were 7-1, lost three straight, were 7-4. I thought maybe they have a chance to win a playoff game. And they came through in the clutch, something they haven't done very well over the past decade. But they did. They clobbered Arizona at home, first round, and all the other games they were down in the fourth quarter, down in the second half, and they came back and won. I didn't expect that, neither did anybody else. It's not like they were the clear-cut favorite. They were one of the favorites to maybe be in the Super Bowl or top contender. They were not the favorite to get into the Super Bowl, and they won it. It was at home at SoFi Stadium. So, like I said, sometimes you have to have breaks and luck. They might have had a nice call against Cincinnati in the Super Bowl. There's a couple of, I think, PIs against the Bengals late in that game. That could have gone either way. That maybe shouldn't have been called. They were. They took advantage of it, and they won. Things went their way. This year, really, nothing is going their way. Sometimes you may have to create your own space. You have to create your luck. They're not creating anything except losses this year at 3-5. Now, they play Arizona home this week. They have dominated Arizona in Sean McVay's tenure, just like the Niners have dominated them. The Rams have also played very well against Seattle during his tenure. They've been dominant against Seattle and also against Arizona. But he does not have control of his team. And that's from a mental aspect. This bit about running the ball on two or three straight plays inside your 10 with the other team, Tampa Bay, with two timeouts remaining, and with their bad running attack, you got to pass the ball once in a while. Yeah, are you worried about Stafford throwing a pick? I don't think he's thrown a pick in his last two games. You got to be aggressive once in a while. And the fact is, if Tampa Bay only had one timeout or no timeouts, then here's the whole thing. You can't be that conservative. He's overly conservative. He was overly conservative when the Rams had Todd Gurley the second during the time that he was injured before they let him go. And that kind of cost him, I think, a little bit in the Super Bowl loss to New England when Tom Brady was playing for them. Last year's team, I thought, was a little bit more daring in the playoffs and in the Super Bowl. They were more daring, more fly sweeps, end-around plays. So they took chances more. This year's team is just like constantly going backwards. 347-205-9631. 347-205-9631. Our show is produced by Mark Mancini from Mancini Media. And so that's my thing on the Rams, and I think they're kind of out of the playoff picture right now. There are not a lot of really good teams in the NFL, though. I mean, it's a bad year for the NFL. As I went over the standings, NFL East, the Bills, not 6-2, but I don't think the Bills are as great as media thought they would be earlier in the year. 6-2, the Jets 6-3. And the Dolphins 6-3. Now, do you really think the Jets and Dolphins are Super Bowl contenders? I mean, would they be in other years? I don't think so. I think they're good teams. But I think there's still question marks about their team. The Chiefs 6-2, yes. And the Chiefs are because they have Patrick Mahomes. Outside of him, they're not a Super Bowl contender. If you watched the game yesterday and you saw how marvelous he is at knowing situations and running for first downs and touchdowns with his legs, you know what I'm talking about. The Chiefs are a contender because they have Patrick Mahomes at quarterback. Chargers 5-3. Herbert's kind of been a disappointment. They're an odd team. They look bad one week, look okay the next week. They're 5-3, only game back of the Chiefs. The L.A. Chargers, they don't look that good. They struggle a lot, but they're right there. AFC North, the Ravens are on TV right now at 5-3, and the Bengals at 5-4. Well, the Bengals sucked against the Browns. They looked horrible, but they looked great yesterday. You have Joe Burrow. They start off 0-2, but they're playing pretty good. So they have to improve their defense, and their offense has to be more consistent. But if you keep Joe Burrow upright, they're going to be a contender. Watch out for them. Okay, NFC South, it's all the Titans. Everybody else is mediocre in that division. Titans 5-3. They have Derrick Henry, the stud, the best running back in pro football, has been for 4 or 5 years. But they need to develop a little bit better passing game. But Tannehill's been hurt. They're playing with a back quarterback, and he's controlled the ball 80 yards yesterday. But they competed the whole way. And one thing about the Titans, they play the Chiefs very well. They know they can beat the Chiefs. They're a tough matchup for KC. They're not as good because the Chiefs have Patrick Mahomes, and they have Derrick Henry. The Chiefs are better because they have Patrick Mahomes. So the Titans will represent the South in the playoffs. NFC East, the Eagles, freaking Eagles, the 8-0. Cowboys are 6-2, and the Giants are 6-2. Jalen Hurts has come on as a quarterback, Philadelphia. Remember, he played at Alabama, and then he was in the Big 12. So he had a little battle with Tua at Alabama at one time. Both are playing, you know, in the pros and having good years. Eagles, to me, are the best team in the NFC East. Cowboys and Giants could, you know, challenge them. There's two games difference now. Eagles have, 9 games left, as do the Cowboys and Giants. NFC West, Seattle, coming out of nowhere with a record of 6-3. Niners at 4-4. I think San Francisco / Santa Clara will beat Seattle eventually in that division. But they got to beat them head on. Now, Seattle has not played the Rams yet. They played them twice. Now, I know the Rams don't look very good, but the Rams have been a thorn in the side of Seattle for years. We'll see how that goes. The Vikings are going to win the NFC North. They're 7-1. They don't do much in the playoffs. Kirk Cousins, a very good quarterback, makes nice money, hasn't done much in the playoffs. But, of course, Green Bay is down. Chicago's an up-and-coming team, but maybe next year and the following year. And then Detroit won a game yesterday, but they're not even going to be 500. That's all Minnesota. So in a lot of divisions, you don't have races. We're only halfway through the season. And then you have NFC South. Tampa Bay and the Falcons both at 4-5. And one of them won that division. And the other one will not make the playoffs. Only one team will make the playoffs from that division. Tampa Bay with Tom Brady or the Falcons with Marcus Mariota. Only one team. We'll see what happens after that. 347-205-9631. 347-205-9631. You know, it's too bad that I just been kind of ranting. 566 listeners hear me rant today. So I guess I don't always need a guest to talk to. Here's the whole thing. I only prepare myself information to talk for about 10 minutes. Well, I do at the beginning of the show and or the end of the show. So I'm prepared to talk for just off the cuff for an hour on this program. So it's strictly ad-lib with me. And I already answered your question, so let me see. Let me go over them again for people that are showing up late here for the program. The other guy, Sal from Germantown, Pennsylvania. And Sal, of course, is a good friend of the program, part of that WWDB broadcast, which I was on. Freaking Philadelphia, man. And Sal and I kind of got into it there, but, you know, I was just kind of having a lot of fun. He's right that Phillies didn't have a very good year. Good year for the Phillies. Okay, Tyler from Indianapolis, Indiana. Sounds like your Coach McVay is a stressed-out guy like a dude we just fired, Reich. Yeah. Captain Jet, Mr. New York listening. So he liked the New York Jets. Zach from Toledo, Ohio. Glenn Wilson, he was a good outfielder. But the game has changed since he played last. It's true. Amy from Huntington Beach, California, the Padres fan. Rain down here as well. Okay, rain in Southern California. Chargers looked good yesterday against the Falcons. And after listening, I wonder if you could text Mancini right now. And do you think the Chargers will make the playoffs, number one? Number two, do you think they can overtake Kansas City for first place in the AFC West, Ann? I think the Chargers will make the playoffs. But do you think they can beat Kansas City for first place in the AFC West? Can Justin outdo Patrick Mahomes? Also, we had Cavi. We know he hates the Rams and blah, blah, blah. Ron from Flagstaff, Arizona, watching the Suns and Sixers. The Lakers are garbage. Yes, they are. All that talent, no results. Yeah. Maybe part of it's coaching. And a lot of it has to do with chemistry, man. Steve from Garvallis, Oregon, must like Oregon State. UCLA won't go to Big Ten. Utah will replace them. So you're saying that USC and Utah will go to the Big Ten? Interesting. Okay. Danny from Arleta, California. Arleta, California. Rams played terrible. Offense stinks. The offensive line stinks, and the offense stinks. Trying to play prevent defense, Brady ate them up, yes, and you give Tom Brady that many times, the ball up much, you give him that many possessions, Tom Brady, if it's a close game, is going to beat you. And you don't rush Tom Brady. The best remedy, the best prevention against a quarterback eating you up with mid-range passes or passes 15 to 25 yards downfield is to put pressure on the quarterback. You got to get in his face. Got to make him scramble. Got to make him nervous out there. The Rams did not put pressure on him. Aaron Donald had a sack for 8 yards, and the Rams got the ball, I think, around midfield, went down, had a 34-yard reception to Cooper Kupp, but they kicked a field goal. They needed a touchdown. That would have given them a bigger lead, and Brady couldn't have beaten them with a touchdown and extra point. I think it would have given them, 4+7, an 11-point lead. But they couldn't get it done, typically with the Rams. They ran two running plays that went nowhere. Stafford was sacked. They kicked a field goal. What happened last time they had a ball inside the 10? They were trying to run out the clock. whether they run the ball two or three times. And I don't know if they gain any yards or lost yards. Typical lousy running attack they've had for two or three years. And you know what? It burns you. I mean, you have to be able to run the football in games in the fourth quarter to protect the lead, especially if you're playing against top-notch quarterbacks. Guys like Brady and the people that are the best, they can do so much in 1 minute of time, even no timeouts. They can go from their own 30 or 40-yard line to the other team's 30 or go all the way with a touchdown without any timeouts because they're that good. They know how to operate with not much time on the clock. You have to be able to salt the game away. You have to win the game with your offense instead of always relying on your defense. The Rams' defense, they'll play well for most of the game. But in the clutch, they kind of succumb. Maybe they get tired. I'm not really sure. They got a dumb defensive strategy. They give up a lot of plays in the middle, and then they continue doing that, 5, 10 yards down the field. All of a sudden, the other team has the ball at their 10 or 5-yard line with less than 20 seconds left. And they're just one pass away from beating you. So you have to stay aggressive defensively. You have to stay aggressive. Why is it when teams get a lead, they back off? You can't back off in pro football. You have to stay aggressive offensively. If you're worried about your quarterback committing turnovers, get another quarterback. You're paying Stafford a lot of money. He helped you win the Super Bowl. Why are you afraid of him making mistakes? He actually hasn't made a turnover in the last two games. I think he's 8-8 this year, which is horrible. 8 touchdown passes, 8 interceptions. Last year, he was over 20 this time with about 6 picks, so he's dropped off a lot. Jerry from Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania, Eagles and Niners, NFC title game, watch out. Falcons, Bucks, Vikings as well. Rams are one-dimensional. Stop being a homer, Hef. I'm not a homer, dude. Are you actually listening to me? Did I say I was a homer? I'm talking about the Rams' problems. You need to listen, Jerry. You have a problem with a lot of people. You have your little narrative yourself. You're not listening to somebody else. You don't watch their text. I'm not a homer. Yeah, the Rams are my team. I critique them, criticize them more than anybody else does. Get off your butt, dude, and listen to what I'm saying. Thanks for calling, but you're wrong. I'm not a homer. I'm not as much a homer as you are and like of other people because you have a very narrow view of things. It's like people from Philadelphia, all they see is what the Eagles do, what the Phillies do. They don't give kudos or credit to the other team. I give credit to other teams. The Rams suck, yes. I said they were outplayed by Tampa Bay, who had a lot more plays, more possessions. Tom Brady outplayed Matthew Stafford. The better team won yesterday. Is that a homer? No, it's not. I'm a broadcaster. I broadcast games. Sometimes I want one team to win more than the other. I don't make it evident on the air. Because I'm a journalist. I'm an actual true journalist. I'm not an extremist right. I'm not an extremist left. Like, that's what you see on TV. And I flip through all the stations, and they're talking about different things from their perspective. Not from perspective in the middle, but from their perspective. Fans like you are the same way. You're a homer. You like to call somebody else a homer and blame them. You can't look in the mirror and say otherwise. So get it right, man, next time. Thanks for listening, but you know what? Get it right. If you met me in person, you wouldn't call me a homer. Believe me. I don't look like sportscasters you see on TV. Believe me. I can take care of myself and take care of my situation. Jerry, what a ding-dong. Ann from Huntington Beach. Yeah, he is. Okay, 6:23 tonight. Our show is winding down. We'll be on next Tuesday, November 15th, which actually is my brother's birthday. Mark Mancini, his birthday is Monday. And his family's taking him out. Happy birthday to Mark on Monday the 14th. My brother's birthday is Tuesday, November 15th, but we will be on earlier on the show. Our show will be from 3:30 p.m. Pacific time to 4:30 p.m. Pacific time. 3:30 p.m. Pacific time to 4:30 p.m. Pacific time next week. And I'm supposed to have a guest who will be Jillian, who's a play-by-play broadcaster for the Visalia Rawhide. They're a lower division, single-A team, minor league ball. And she actually broadcast an Arizona D-backs game. Yes, a woman broadcasting a baseball game, a Major League Baseball. In fact, Jillian and I were part of the crew for the football game I did Friday between Sanger and Paso Robles. She was a videographer, so we actually met in person. And she'll be on the show next week, next Tuesday at 3:30 p.m. She should call in about 3:45. Jillian from Visalia, which is about 75 miles from here in Bakersfield, where I'm at. And, yeah, she's a play-by-play broadcaster in baseball and actually did a Major League Baseball game. I haven't done major leagues. I've done minor leagues, and I've done, obviously, college football and college basketball, but not professional, not the NBA, NFL, or, Major League Baseball. At any rate, thanks a lot for listening to the program today. I'm Open Madness on Blog Talk Radio by Mancini Media. God bless you. I will talk to you next week at 3:30 p.m. on Tuesday. Take care.